Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Don't Blame Me. Today's fantastic episode is Lee Newton, and we debate the topic of promise rings and engagement rings because a girl is apparently going to get one from a psychic aunt. I don't know. It's quite interesting. And we also talk about a girl who just wants to hoe out. And is that bad? Is that good? Plot twist. Hoe the fuck out. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Don't Blame Me. Today's guest is the fantastic Lee Newton. Hello.
Hi.
Your hair is so cute and pink.
Thank you so much. It's kind of a fun new journey.
Is this a recent?
It's recent. It's like within a couple months. It's been really fun. It's very interesting.
Very nice on you.
Thank you.
Doesn't look bad, which Ooh. Usually, like, not that I'm not a fan of colors, but like this is done, like, I would think that you were born with pink hair.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Thank you so much. No, it's been a real fun, weird journey. It's also, I didn't know that there's like a whole subculture of like unicorn haired people that all have like products that they use and like worlds and like speak that they speak. And
I feel like it's a lot of Etsy. It's a lot of things, like shampoo you've bought on
Etsy. And a lot of Amazon, a lot of like weird Ooh. Little like subcult, like
okay.
online thing overtone and like weird things that you're
oh
like, I
gosh.
Never knew. And then they're like, do not do that. And I'm like, oh, okay, sorry.
You have to learn how to be a whole new person with
yeah,
hair.
Yeah, it really is true.
Wow.
It's been fun.
It's very pretty.
Thanks.
If you guys also want to see it, we are filming this podcast episode for YouTube.
It's true.
So if you're listening to it, go check out her beautiful pink hair. It's definitely like hair. Like this is something I could see someone bringing into like a salon and be like, this is the kind of pink I want, which my stylist always gets mad when people do that. She goes, I can't do that.
I know. Cause that's not who you
it's
want.
It's filtered you're probably. Perfect. And you're a different person.
I do that all the time to my stylist too, though. You're I was like, can this you person, that? Can I be this person? She's like, you can't be Madonna. It's
oh,
not
me bringing
works.
In Candace Swanepoel and my stylist is like, okay, fat chance, honey. That's not
thank
happening.
You. I'm like, so this is Kate Moss.
I just like want to be her.
Figure it out.
Make it happen. Thank you so much. And I'm going to give you $100 and that's it. Well, guys, this is Don't Blame Me. It's an advice podcast. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck. I forgot to introduce not that I'm going to say we're not the best, but Melissa.
Hello.
And her camera.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
We've decided we're now going to color coordinate for every episode.
I think that's beautiful.
I think we should just be matching and then... I was going to say I never address it, but if we address it here, then everyone who listened to this episode will know, then we'll never bring it up again.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think it's
we
key.
Should just match.
I think it's essential.
I think it's a really good idea. And if it wasn't so hot in here, we could do like onesies or something funny.
Oh, it's a dream. But, or tracksuits. Just like beautiful tracksuits.
I love
a matching tracksuit. Yeah. I love a matching
I was so sad when those went out of style for a while. Yeah. I still held on to like my old school like
they'll
juicy
back.
Sweats.
Like,
they're back.
Back. They have to be back. If Kylie Jenner is going to wear it one time and then it's going to be hot cakes.
Completely. Except she got rid of her lip fillers. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Did she get rid of them or she just reduced them?
I think, you can like dissolve them because they're like.
That's got to be what it was.
Cushy stuff.
I think it was just she was realizing she looked cartoonish and then was like, oh, I've got to decrease this.
I don't think she could get them when she was pregnant. So I wonder if she was just like, oh, maybe I'll. But I don't know. I saw a really funny meme about like.
I feel like she would be the person.
Maybe that's why she went to hiding because she couldn't get it all.
Because she couldn't get it all.
Oh, she couldn't keep up with her face. Well, it's also a weird thing because I think about it all the time and. If you look at her, you're like, oh, that's a 55-year-old woman. Like, that is a...
She's still hot.
Do you think so?
I think she's so pretty.
I think she looks so cartoonish. I saw Kim Kardashian
I
IRL,
love cartoons, though.
And I know, me too. Me too. Like, you like the Jessica
like,
Rabbit.
Like, yeah. Like,
I
like, want to
be
hot.
Babs Bunny, but same. I get it. So, I know.
I want to be a totally spies. Powerpuff Girl, really? Sailor Moon. Ugh.
That feels right for you.
Doesn't it?
I want that for you so bad.
Thank you so much.
I do. I really
all
do.
All I want in life is
really
to be Sailor
Moon. For you.
Be a good Halloween costume 1 year.
It
not
would.
That anyone else hasn't done it before.
My other I think you got to go take a twist on it, though.
What's my twist, though?
I don't know, like adult Sailor
adult
Moon?
Adult Sailor Moon?
Yeah.
Sailor Moon.
Where she's just like, I wear pants now. Like that happens.
Feminist.
All right? I'm a feminist Sailor Moon.
Oh, that's a good one.
I wear pants. I'm a CEO of my company.
Sailor
bitch.
Moon, CEO.
Yeah.
Headed chief of the, I don't know.
Editor.
Editor. Words are hard, okay?
Words is hard.
Okay. So yeah, this is an advice podcast. I'm getting so sidetracked. And my face reacted. Guys, you might not be able to hear that. There was some sound thing that
there
stressed
me out.
There
was some sound thing. It was beautiful, though.
But this is an advice podcast where people call in and leave us voicemails, and then we give them advice and tell them what to do with their lives. And the number to call, if you guys want to be on the episode, is 310-694-0976. And for our international listeners, if you email an MP or whatever, a video file. Audio. MP3.
MP3 or M4A.
Guys, I'm struggling. Okay. That was, I wasn't going with that one.
MP3. Like coming in hot.
if you record an audio file and email it to meganpodcast@gmail.com, we can play it and then give you some advice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel? Like, where are your advice giving skills at?
You
do
know,
you give unsolicited advice?
I don't ever give unsolicited advice because I hate it.
Oh, same. But I give
like I mean, I do give it, but I am always the person that people come to after breakups and stuff. I'm consistently that
that's a good
like,
person to be.
I have friends that like I won't see them until something horrible happens and then they're like, hi,
that's called
how
a therapist
are you?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
are you
I know,
charging
really
yeah.
No, I'm not. My mother is a therapist, my sister's a neuropsychiatrist.
Oh wow.
And we're all a very open family, so get ready because I might have mediocre advice. I mean, I never take their advice. They're always like, here's what you do, and I'm like, what do you know?
What are those degrees?
What do you know? Those what degrees? Do you get paid? What do you make a living off of this? Grow up. And then I go off and do the same thing. So, you know.
I mean,
I'm just letting you know it's mediocre advice, but I can give it like the best of them. I can also only speak to my own experiences. So that's my disclaimer.
Yeah.
Hi, Megan. I'm 22 years old and I'm in a serious relationship. And a couple weeks ago, he brought up that he wanted to get me a promise ring just to show me that he like is really serious. Like we've talked about marriage. We we know that we want to get married. We know that we want to have kids in the future. We're both kind of waiting to finish. I'm finishing school. He's moving up in his career. But someone brought it to my attention when I mentioned it. It was actually his sister-in-law. She was like, wait, so he's proposing? And I was like, wait. I thought a promise ring was just like a relationship thing. So then it was brought to my attention that like a lot of guys don't know the difference between a promise ring and an engagement ring, and some girls don't either. I honestly never, I guess, considered that, but it does make sense. So I guess I just wanted to ask your opinion. Do you think a promise ring means an engagement ring, or is a promise ring just a boyfriend and girlfriend thing, and then eventually there's an engagement ring? Also, his sister-in-law's aunt does have like a gift, I guess you could say. She can like kind of, I guess in a way, see the future, or like she can sense things that are going to happen. And she has told me things that are going to happen before, and they've all come out correct. So I 100% believe her. And she said that he thinks that what she can see is that he thinks a promise ring is an engagement ring, and she does for a fact see us getting married, and that I will be getting the ring sometime before summer. So, with that said, should I start planning my wedding, or should I just maybe ask him about it? Because we haven't brought it up ever since the first time he said it to me. It's not been brought up at all. But, according to her, I am for sure getting the ring, whether it's promise or engagement, by the summer. So, I don't know, should I just let it be a surprise, or kind of clear that up with him and see where he stands? Let me know what you think. Thank you.
This is, I have so many thoughts. I have so many thoughts.
Mel might die.
Mel's gonna die. Mel, arms up. Don't choke.
I'm so sorry.
You tickled her good. We got her good. Oh, you tickled,
I'm so sorry.
Oh my God.
It really, really. It's just a lot going on.
It's a lot. It is a lot going on.
If you, if you're listening to this episode, caller, just listen. Please don't watch the video.
No.
Just listen. You just listen.
Please. I love it.
It's a lot to unpack.
It is a lot to unpack.
But also very little to unpack.
Yeah, it's actually very little to unpack.
Okay.
I can dive in.
Please start.
Okay.
Well, I regained my composure.
I feel like I'm going to actually take it seriously and be like, listen. Okay. But one, you're 22, which is totally fine if this is something that you want in your life. A promise ring, I don't know. It sounds to me like it's like a loose engagement ring.
I thought it was about sex.
No, I mean, that's the Jonas
purity
Brothers.
Ring?
That was a purity ring.
That's literally my ring.
That's the Jonas Brothers.
Do you know I asked for one.
Oh, I know. I grew up in a Christian home. I had a promise ring, girl.
And I asked for one because I was like, lost. I need it because Nick and I are going to have sex. And he needs to know that, like, he's going to be the only one. And then I never got it.
Yeah, no, I got one that my parents gave to me being like, here you go. And then they were like, you lost your ring. And I was like, huh.
And he lost my virginity too.
But
so they're different.
They're very different. Promise rings can be like, it's kind of big. Sometimes it's big in religion too, like where it's like, you know, you promise this, but we're not ready for the engagement ring yet.
It's big in the South.
It's big in the South. It's huge in the South. It's also really big amongst younger people.
Yeah,
because
I was surprised.
I think it's
22.
Like such a
it was
big
like high
thing
school.
That like, you know, I mean, I have a lot of Southern relatives and they all got married very young. But I think it's one of those things where there's such a weird illusion. I got married last year. I've been married a year.
Congrats.
Thank you so much. There is such a weird feminine illusion of like you want the surprise and you want this like huge reveal and it's all about like how special you are to them. And I think there's a big buildup with like getting engaged, you know, and like and what the ideal thing is and if it's special enough for you. And I kind of also think being a year into it, talk to your significant other for the love of God. Like be candid and open. And if you know something's coming, great. You know something's coming. You just don't know how it's going to come and how special the moment's going to be. But like, please talk. Like, I think we think it's got to be this veiled illusion of just like, ooh, I don't want to bring it up because I don't want to ruin the surprise. It's like, it's your life. It's the rest of your life.
I hope it's not a surprise. Like, I hope you
plan you know.
To like,
I hope you know that like,
start a future eventually.
Yes. And I also hope that you like, know what a responsibility it is. Like, again, I'm a year in and it's like, these are huge life decisions. I don't regret it for anything in the world, but I certainly knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You know, like I actually knew exactly when it was coming. I knew he was bad at hiding it. But it's, you know, I really think there's those, have the conversation, like have it be honest, if you don't want it to be an engagement ring, you got to let them know. Just be like, I'm all for a promise ring. I'm all for committing to like furthering this, you know, however mm-hmm. we can. But if it's, but if you want it to be an engagement ring too, then, which it sounds kind of like you do want it to be mm-hmm. that, then
does it go on that finger? Same yep. Does it look same like finger? One? Yeah.
It looks like one. It's oh. literally the same
I
thing.
I mean, I think if he says, will you marry me, that will let you know if it's an engagement, yeah. ring, engagement or a promise ring.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it is one, it, if you have a conversation with him, like yeah. if he says that he's doing that, don't let it be veiled anymore. Don't let it be, because then my mother says an expectation is a resentment under construction. So if you have, it's really good.
Ooh, therapist.
It's
a real therapist.
I'm going to have to write that down.
I like
it's
that.
So good. But it's one of those, like, if you have this expectation of like whatever it's going to be, but you don't communicate it, then yeah. it's a huge
someone's
deal.
Disappointing you someone's and they didn't you. Know that they yeah. were a part of that.
Also, I was engaged when I was 18 to a very different person. I wasn't ready to be mm-hmm. engaged, but because I got so caught up in the whole thing of like engagement mm-hmm. and like marriage, and I guess it's something I'm supposed to do, I said yes when I shouldn't have. I knew in the moment that I like, he got on Winnie and I was like, shit. But I also didn't want to lose him as a partner.
Yeah.
And if I would have just communicated to him beforehand, instead of being like, I thought he would have. I was like, oh my God, I think he's going to propose. And I should have just sat him down and gone, don't do that. Like, don't, this will be 4 years of our life where we're engaged and it's mm-hmm. weird.
And we can just date.
And we can just date.
Yeah.
And maybe, who knows, if we would have just talked it out, I might've had a different person, but you know, it's like, yeah. I didn't want that person. but it's just one of those things where it's like, I was engaged for it was such a weird thing. It was such an odd thing, and I very much wasn't ready because I had to keep that veil of surprise and illusion.
Well, that's what I wonder with her. I wonder, do you want to be engaged?
Yeah.
Does he think that this is something that you
yes.
want? Because I also think, I mean, I am fully saying that I really obviously clearly don't understand a ton about promise rings. Grew yes. up in like liberal Northern California. I'm sure, like, sure, I don't know
sure.
what that is.
Sure.
But I think also it's, at least if it happens usually when you're younger, I can kind of understand that more, because it's like, hey, this is something, like, this is saying that, like, despite the fact that we're young, our relationship yeah. is very serious and this is where we see it going. But if you're into your 20s and getting engaged, I don't know. This sounds to me like if you're in an area where people, like, promise rings are a thing and you guys, people do that, maybe it is the South, maybe people are getting married younger, how long would you wear a promise ring to then wear an engagement,
to then
ring?
Wear an engagement ring?
And
yeah.
also, is it him, is this him saying that he wants to get engaged, or is this him thinking that you want to get engaged and he's not ready for that
yeah.
and it's managing the expectation by putting like another title?
Or does he just want to bone
it?
You?
Have they had sex? Do you
I
know?
I don't know.
Do you
promise
have
rings can sometimes be that, where mm-hmm. it's literally just like, well, it's a promise and we're
oh, and then you
committed.
Have sex
and
after the promise ring?
Yeah. So that is the question. That's an honest question. Yeah. It's like, it is a thing of like, you know, here, and it kind of gives leeway to like, you know.
Well, why can't he just get you a nice piece of jewelry as a gift
yeah.
for your birthday or whatever holidays you want to celebrate, like Arbor Day, like get you a really nice
oh,
piece
I
of
love
jewelry.
Love an Arbor Day necklace.
Love a good Arbor
oh,
Day necklace.
I love an Arbor
I'm
Day necklace.
All about it.
Or Flag Day
ooh,
ring.
Yes.
What a dream.
So
oh,
good.
I can't wait, Diane.
Diane.
Oh, I'm so ready.
But I think like if you can do something like that, where like I've got like a couple of pieces of jewelry that like my boyfriend's gotten me this ring and he's gotten me this ring, and neither of they were for like Christmas and stuff, but
yeah.
it's nice. There are things that I wear every day that I look down and I'm like, oh, sweet,
so
like
sweet.
This reminds me of
so
him
sweet.
But it's not, they don't hold any like additional meaning, and
mm-hmm.
I think, and until we would get engaged, I don't need it to hold more meaning than
yeah.
like, oh, this is great. And also, if you guys have already talked about you want to end up together and have like kids and be together, you've made that verbal promise
yes.
to each other.
It's very true.
So I think unless you really want to get engaged and you want to get married, I don't know what the point of it is, if and that's the only way you can figure that out is by talking to
yeah.
him and like
you,
what
I think
he
you
thinks
have
it
to
means.
Have a very candid conversation, because again, it's not going to ruin any surprise. I don't
yeah.
think people do, they wrap it up in this like, am I special enough, or is do like, are you committed to me, and what that means about you, whether or not what that means about the relationship
mm-hmm.
and how it is your whole life that you are continuing on with this person. And so it's a very like, you have to really have that full, what does this mean? I mean, even in marriage now, I'm having like conversations that I go, ooh, we should have talked about that. Like literally like, oh, whoa, we gotta, yeah, we should have God, where was that? Why didn't we have this conversation? Mm-hmm. But there's going to be those things that keep coming up. So if you, as long as you can open the door with as much candidness as possible, and if you want to get engaged, then tell them that. And you might have to wait a little bit to get engaged, and you might not have a promise ring. But, you know, also, you know, there's nothing wrong with a long engagement. That's my honest opinion.
Oh, my God. I want to be engaged for as long as possible, because just the idea of that, everyone's like, oh, my God, how'd you get proposed to? And it's just all about the attention and, like, not about, like, oh, when are you going to have kids? Like, when's it coming up? And all of that pressure of.
I had the shortest engagement and I wanted a long one so badly. My husband had a 101-year-old grandma that we really wanted at the wedding.
Yeah.
And so it was literally like we got engaged in December and then we got married in June, and it was, and we decided like in April that we were going to get married in June, which was a very dumb move on my part.
That's impressive, though.
Thank you very much. I had constant nosebleeds.
Yeah. so much cocaine.
Yeah.
That's my wedding in 2 months.
This is so stupid. So dumb. But it was, you know, it's one of those things of you, I really think it's such a huge commitment and it's such a big deal that. You know, you said, should I plan my wedding? You seemed very excited about that. So have that talk, man.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being 5 years. Also, depending on where you're going to find your venue, like it's going to take you forever anyways. Yeah. Like they're booked out. I have friends that are getting married now that got engaged like 4 years ago. And they're like, well, this is when we could get a venue. And I'm like, Jesus.
So wow.
It's Los Angeles. It's disgusting.
That's true.
But it is. Yeah. It's crazy.
And I also think you went into this thinking that it didn't mean an engagement ring. And now other people are telling you that it means an engagement ring.
Yeah.
And
can now talk about the aunt.
The aunt.
But now she's wondering if it's an engagement ring. And now I'm like, if it's not that, which it, your first instinct that it wasn't, she'll be disappointed if it's not an engagement ring.
Psychic.
So you have to. I can't. I don't know how to dive into
I think she's going to be disappointed no matter what if it's not an engagement ring. So you're going to have that conversation.
And also, then be like, don't propose unless it's an engagement ring.
That psychic aunt. Yeah. Is that a gift or is it a curse? I don't
that's
know
so
if
Raven.
A psychic aunt
that's
is like,
so
that's so Raven. God, that's so Raven.
Oh my God. I can't. I really
that
can't.
I can't. I don't know if I.
That's where I lost it.
I don't think
it.
I'd be able
that's
to.
That's where I lost it too. I'm really sorry.
I would either call her all the time or like never.
Never. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would
want to
know.
She's like, you're going to die tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh also, God. Does she say that or does she only say the good things? Also,
yes,
let's
does
talk
she
about
say
this.
Them?
Is she close with your boyfriend? Maybe he just told
Maybe
her.
Maybe he just told her.
True.
Psychic like, aunt.
How much is
psychic
she predicting?
Aunt. Is she an aunt if she's psychic?
Or
she's
yeah,
an aunt.
She's,
right?
an aunt.
She's not an aunt.
She's not an aunt.
No.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Aunts are young and wear like.
Oh, I am
like
so ready
waterline
for that Netflix
eyeliner.
Show. Psychic aunt.
Psychic aunt. Oh, I want her name to be like Marjorie or something.
Yeah.
And like, I want her not to have a job in the whole family. Like, she's in too high demand.
Yeah.
Like,
she's
they need any beckoning call. Yeah. They're like, Marjorie? And she's like, that's Aunt Marjorie.
No, and I knew you were going to call.
I knew.
You, hello.
Hello.
Daryl.
And how'd you know?
Caller ID. Let's write this.
We have
we need to.
It's necessary.
Such a good idea.
I'm just ready for every Kathy Bates outfit ever.
Yes.
Just
I'm
adorning
so
silk.
Into
silk
it.
Silk kimonos.
So many
all
kaftans
day,
too.
Day.
Lots
I
of like slight cultural appropriation in her outfits
always.
Though.
And, you're like,
and she definitely lives in the South.
Be. Yeah, 100%.
And just like various religious artifacts that don't all go with one religion.
So many masks on her wall. And
yes.
You're like, I don't think you should have
no,
that peace pipe.
Did you buy this?
Yeah.
Where did you get these?
It's all her lovers.
Yes.
All of her lovers.
Yes. So many. She treasures. Loves international lovers.
She does.
Lovers.
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 They come by boat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God,
like actual explorers.
Awesome. I'm ready.
It's
Me
so
too.
Good.
I mean, fuck. I guess so in a nutshell, have a conversation with your psychic aunt.
Yeah. No, talk to
have
your fucking
conversation
boyfriend.
With your boyfriend first, right?
Yeah.
Oh, psychic Aunt Marjorie.
Oh, so psychic.
So psychic.
Most psychic.
Most psychic.
Good God. Oh, okay.
I'm ready. That was good. That was great.
I lost it. Okay, guys. On to the next call.
I'm ready. On to the next call. That was a great first call.
It's only going to get better.
I
don't
wait.
Know that.
No, I
don't know
I think
happening.
It has to.
Hi, Megan. I'm 19 years old, and my boyfriend is 20 years old. Him and I have been together for almost 4 years now. He used to be super sketchy about his phone. He would sleep with it in his hand, or it would be in his pocket, and I just wasn't allowed to touch it. Around this time last year, I found out that he had been flirting through Snapchat and text with a friend for about a year and a half, which at the time was half of our relationship. and he had told her that we had been broken up and would try to hang out with her. I had talked to her, and she, when I had found out, I had talked to her, and she had said that they never hung out and that she was not interested, but I was still extremely hurt and ended up leaving him for about 6 months. He would say he never had feelings for her, but it's a little hard to believe. For the most part, I didn't talk to him up until the end of November, and he made it clear that he wanted to be with me and only me. He was totally different the second time around, and he treated me so much better. In February, I decided to give him a second chance. Now it's June, and we have been doing really well. We aren't fighting like we used to, and in general, our relationship is better than before. My parents and my sister like him and say that we are in a much better relationship, but in the last 3 weeks, he's been starting to hide his phone again. I'm not the type of girl to look through his phone. I don't even have his password. It makes me feel icky, and I probably only looked through it about 3 times throughout the whole relationship. I don't want to look through his phone because I'm just not that type of girl. But if I do end up finding something, I would be hurt, but at least I'd know. The advice I'm wanting, is it justifiable for me to look through his phone? How can we try to rebuild my trust in him if there isn't anything on his phone and he truly changed?
Well, I mean, in my belief,
yeah.
if you get paranoid yeah. and you think something's there, something is there.
Something's there.
I have a really great track record, which is also like a great and terrible thing of like every time I've had like a sinking feeling about a relationship,
yeah.
I've never been wrong, which yeah. like satisfies me being like, wow, I'm right. But also it's like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Like that thing I didn't
yep.
want.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Women especially, like we're so... You just know, like
just
you.
Know. It's like there's a woman's intuition.
There is
it's like a thing.
Even girls, like you literally have sex one time. You're like, oh, I'm pregnant, and then they know, and you're like, how the fuck
yeah.
did you know?
No,
like you're just. If you are suspecting it, not only do you have reason to believe it because
yeah.
this has happened before and it was the same stuff, just that feeling you have.
I think, you know, it would be different if, like, if you were just being paranoid or if you were just, like, whatever. There's a track record. There's a track record
exactly.
that he has of that, and he's hiding his phone again. And to be not want to be that girl, it's like,
yeah.
that's fine at the same time. But I think, once again, it's like, have the conversation with him. If he doesn't let you, like, ask him to see his phone. If he doesn't let you see his phone, then there's a reason.
And I also think you saying that you don't want to be that girl is... so the male voice and
yeah.
talking that
yes.
that's not a thing girls say of being like I don't want to be that girl. We've decided and we've been told that the girl who looks through her boyfriend's phone is crazy not because not the guy who's made this
who's
girlfriend so insecure
yes, exactly.
and made her feel like
and
she needs to look through
like
his
she
phone
actually has to do that yeah no there's
yeah.
You know,
no one wakes up one day and is like, I'm going to do this.
No, it's like there are people that I do know that like are just crazy, jealous, paranoid people. And I've had friends that have been in a relationship with them. And they've been like, I don't know. And you can look through everything. Here's
yeah.
all my passwords. It's fine. But that's not a that girl thing. When you're sitting here saying this person has had problems
yeah.
in the past with this and I'm getting this feeling again. It's like, you know, I don't know. We're, you know, what is it? Where there's grease, there's fire.
Smoke,
you know,
there's fire.
Smoke, grease,
yeah.
there's fire. But where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you're like, yeah, just,
mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you to look in the phone, obviously, but look in that goddamn phone. Yeah.
I mean, if you don't, you just have to know if you go into it looking for something.
And you find
you're going to find it. Like, if you have
if
that feeling.
And if you do find it, you have options of confronting or not. But I kind of feel like if you're going to be stuck in that same repetition, like.
It's going to
It's going to happen. It's one of those things. I think. Youth is a difficult thing because I think it's difficult. Like I always say once a cheater, always a cheater.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
because that's been my experience because that has been my experience, not only with like my own life, but with like all of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in that age where it's like marriage cheating.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, yeah, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was consistent marriage cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like youth is difficult because there's a lot of feelings and your frontal lobe isn't formed until you're 22. Fact.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Once a cheater, always a cheater. If he's going to do that, then he's going to consistently do that. And he's not respecting you or your feelings
yeah.
at all. And he's not trustworthy for your heart and your love. So run.
And I also just think it's not, even if he had changed, the feeling of just like paranoia
yeah.
and stress
yes.
and worry, even if there's nothing there, you don't have to settle for that. Like, that's not a livable kind of like relationship.
Also, then if you are that, and I've had friends that have actually gotten past cheating in their relationships. Like, I've had friends that have done that and they've done it well. But that means that that person, whoever got caught, is literally like an open book.
Completely.
Very much is like, great. Yeah, you feel that way. You have a feeling about that person. I guess I'm going to have to
cut that person out of my life. They're in the doghouse
for years. Yes. Yeah. No, really. Yeah. Like, there are friends I know that, like, because they came through an affair or infidelity in the relationship, like, it's like, I've had friends that have been like, yeah, and then she had to fire that person because her husband felt a way about him. And she was like, yeah, that's my marriage. And now I have to do that. And it's like, you have to respect that. So if you confront him and he's going to have an issue about it, he's got to respect that that has made you feel that way in the past and he's hurt you in the past. So welcome to it. Welcome to being, quote, in the doghouse, or also welcome to trying to respect your partner enough and give her that open, you know, love and admiration that makes her feel loved and trusted. So welcome to it. If he has an issue, I always say ditch him.
Yeah.
Ditch him. Because it's the same thing. You're going to have that lording over your head constantly. The second that he doesn't show you something on his phone, or the second that he has his phone on him at all times, or the fact that he sleeps with his phone is
that's like
he keeps a grip during his sleep on his phone.
Like a hostage situation.
That is a hostage situation. That is a have you looked through your boyfriend's phones?
Yes.
I have.
Have I found things every time?
Yes.
Did every I know time. I was trying to find it? Yes. Did it still suck?
Yes. But it is also, I've had things happen too where I've like looked through boyfriend's phone, found something, and then he like went in later and deleted everything.
Oh my God.
And I was like, well, thank God I saw it all.
Right.
Like, thank God I actually, because otherwise he would have been like, nothing happened. I was like, girl, I saw.
No, you know what my trick was taking pictures of said phone with whatever I was looking at with then my phone.
So smart.
And then I would send them to my friend.
Have an advice podcast.
It is. I would send them to my friend. Then they would save them in a private folder on their phone and I would delete everything off
the
phone.
This is some Harriet the Spy shit.
But call me Veronica Mars.
She's ready.
She's fucking ready.
She's doing it. No, it is crazy. Like, I don't know. I think that's just my opinion. And I know it's going to be like, well, if there's trust, and it's like, well, he hasn't warranted trust. He hasn't built that relationship.
No, he doesn't deserve that. And also, he, in rebuilding your trust, he cannot, not only does he need to go above and beyond in showing you that you can trust him, he specifically cannot do the things he did before that made you not trust him.
Yeah.
And also, my only thing is too, is with, you have to so trust your gut with this, because especially with guys or anyone who really has it, like, it struggles with telling the truth and lying and things like that, you can be made, and I've been made out to be, I'm crazy, and like these feelings of paranoia, that's on me, and then you're doing nothing else, so you feel all of this shame and blame for not only looking at someone's phone but then feeling that you can't.
And it's on them. It's on them that doing that,
because they made you feel like that. Behind that stupid Pinterest quote, like, behind every crazy girl is a guy who made her feel insane.
No, that's like, that's so what that good. Is That really is good, because it's so true. It's one of those things where you're like, and you said it perfectly, of you don't have to live with that.
No,
that's really it. It's like, you don't have to live with that feeling. There are plenty of people in this world that want to treat you well and want to respect you and want to not do that. So unless you got like a chocolate paper dick or something, you fucking run.
It's
And even then, that'll get old.
Right.
It'll get old. Like, right?
You'll want strawberry, like, vanilla.
I'm good tonight. Thank you. Thank very you. Much. Moving on.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, it sucks. We've all been there. But I think you got to look through it and then.
Yeah, I mean, I think you are warranted to look at his phone. And if he says no, then you're warranted to have the conversation of, this is how you're making me feel. And you're also warranted to run. Yeah. Run away.
You know what I would do, though? I would look at it first, then pretend you didn't look at it, then ask him if you can look at it, and then see if he's deleted anything.
She's Harriet. Harriet the spy.
I've done
She's
it.
Veronica Mars.
I would do that. Then you see if there was something, even if something you didn't, if you looked at it and it didn't seem suspicious, if he deleted anything, then there was something suspicious that even you didn't realize.
No, she's right. Yeah, look through it first.
Look through it first, then ask him.
Yeah.
Then if he says yes.
It's also, you want to be in the know, and you have to be in the know, because there's things that really, it's like, from personal experience, there's things that you've seen that you're just like, this would shatter my earth if I found it. I found
Completely.
It. And now I know. And if you're going to lie about that, then that says everything about who you are as a person.
Completely.
That I need to know. Like, it says everything. If you're diminishing what is happening, or if you're doing that, or you're making me feel crazy when I am 100% warranted to feel this way.
Yeah.
Then no, you're done.
Yeah.
You're toast. Go away.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
To you. Not you. To
No, your to boyfriend. Not you, to your boyfriend. Obviously, to your boyfriend.
Duh.
Also,
you're great.
You're 19. Girl.
Oh, my God.
You have so many more dicks. Much. So many so things many more ahead dicks. Of you. One, a career. Get it.
True.
Get it, girl.
True.
Two, at 24, you should probably start investing in your future. yeah. From 24 to 35, you could really get a retirement fund that could, over time, gain interest that could really set you for life. It's not going to happen any other time besides 24 to 35.
Okay, I'll work on it.
That percentage. Work on it.
Okay, I'll work on it.
That's all.
We're going on to the next call.
Hey, Megan. I'm 15, and I have a question for you about my older sister and our relationship. So my sister and I were really close when we were little, but we began to grow apart when I was going into middle school. And this was around the same time that my sister started using drugs. Now, at the time, my family was not aware of it, but I had a sneaking suspicion the whole time, and I never said anything. My sister would go on random walks late at night and spend pretty much all of her time in her room. At her worst, she even stole some money from me, which I confronted her about, but she denied it at the time, and I believed her. Thankfully, we moved from Texas to Wisconsin before things got even worse, and she has been clean for over a year. However, our relationship is completely shredded. Even though it sucks, and I guess it makes me a horrible person, I resent her for making me harbor such anxiety and stress because of her. Because of her, I have this deep-seated fear of drugs, and any mention of them would trigger an anxiety attack. I've gotten a lot better, but still don't quite know what to do about our relationship. I've spoken to her therapist about these feelings to help aid in her recovery, but feel as though she does not recognize the struggle that myself and my family endured when she was using. If you have any thoughts on how to help me either let go of my resentment or how to revive my relationship with my sister, I would greatly appreciate it. Thanks. Bye.
Ooh, baby. I'm so sorry, because drugs are hard. Mm-hmm. Drugs are really, drug addiction is, it's addiction. It's not drugs, it's addiction. Addiction is very difficult. It's, it really is one of those things that can, I think, tear a family apart so viciously. So I will give you guys props that she's been clean a year, that you guys are a family that obviously cares and like wants to put her first in that sense. It is, you know, it's a difficult thing because it's so hard. I don't know if you're going to get yet in her recovery, because she said she's a year, and a year is pretty fresh, actually. A year is like real fresh. 3 years is technically fresh in AA and stuff like that. 3 years is some of the most difficult time before you relapse and like have certain thoughts. So, you know, I don't know what her recovery process was. I don't know if she, you know, did AA or anything else like that. But, you know, my favorite quote from AA is, you're powerless over people, places, and things. And that's something for you to take on as well, where, yes, I'm sure you're hurt. I'm positive there's a lot of resentment. I don't think it makes you a bad person. No. You said it makes me a horrible person. No, God, no. These are feelings that you have that you are 100% warranted for, especially because it's hard with a family because you see the hurt that it brings onto the people that you love. It's not just you. Like, sure, you're on the back burner. You're having anxiety attacks because of that. And that is so unfair. But also, you get to see your parents struggle with it. And that's awful. Do know that it's a disease. It is. And it's hard to, like, justify that because you keep thinking it's the person and their actions. But it is a disease. It's a disease and it takes over. And so in her recovery right now, you might not get that beautiful, heartwarming Hollywood movie, I'm so sorry for everything that I've done and how I made you feel, but know that that is a process that hopefully with her therapist she is going through. And I think it's smart of you to talk about that, because your therapist needs to bring that up to her of like, hey, you hurt these people in your life. In AA, there is the, like, you know, you make, you know, what is
amends,
it?
Amends. Right?
Yeah. You make amends. To the people that you've wronged, you do that. I have people come into my life a lot that are like, hey, remember 7 years ago? And I'm like, yeah. And you're like, yeah, all right.
Sorry about it.
But I've gone to AA a lot with friends. I have a lot of friends that are in the program. And I also think it's such a beautiful thing for if you have any codependency issues or if you have any like other issues like that, that it is beautiful in that sense to help you get through it. Mm-hmm. But this is it's a tough one because it might take time. It might take time and honest communication and, you know, and just don't expect her to feel as sorry that she needs to feel for you, because right now she's going through the addiction and that sucks to like kind of say that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But it is a difficult thing of saying just right now she's working on her and she doesn't see the forest of the trees. She doesn't mm-hmm. see it. She will. I really think if she goes through her whole thing, I have friends and family. I have family that specifically has years later been like, I messed up.
Yeah.
Apologies for Christmas. And you're like, yeah, I get it. But it's her own process. And I do think you're warranted in feeling that way. So know that the world understands exactly how you feel, but she might take time to apologize for that. And amending the sisterhood will take time.
Yeah.
You know,
she might not ever apologize for it. And I think that's something that people I know and are in my life that we've had to kind of manage our expectations with that.
Yes.
And the only thing you want is for this person to be clean, happy, and healthy. And if you don't realize all the havoc you wrecked on everything else, that's okay, because mm-hmm. ultimately that recovery is the most important part, because whatever damage that they've caused, they're not going to be causing anymore by mm-hmm. continuing to use. And so I think it would feel so great to have that kind of apology. But I also think exactly like you're saying, like, addiction is a disease. And mm-hmm. I grew up with a kid who had leukemia, and he had to go get treatments and everything like that. And his brother went to a camp for siblings of kids who had leukemia because they were also affected by this. It was like, this is my brother who's incredibly sick.
Yeah.
And here I am feeling super selfish because I'm not getting as much attention from my family. Yeah. I'm upset because this is like ruining my childhood. I also am terrified for him, and I'm living in fear. And now I'm stressed about everything. And I'm like afraid of the world. And I think you need to see your own therapist for that.
I think that's so smart.
It's important to know that, like, everything you're saying, like, all of your feelings are totally valid. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, like, you can resent her. You can be upset. Like, those are really normal feelings. And there's something that it's just what happens to people who are kind of caught in the crossfire of those terrible things. And you got to just, like, address it head on, because they're... You hear that when you have like kids who grew up with parents who had addiction issues and they go to therapy for that, like being surrounded by something like that, it's something that happened in your life as well that you didn't have the choice about. And I think if you talk to a therapist, you're going to seek so much less from your sister mm-hmm. and realize that I'm terrified of drugs, like so scared of drugs. Like I can't watch, I can't watch Breaking Bad.
I couldn't either.
Oh my God. I saw a little bit of white dust. I went to college. I don't need to see any more cocaine.
I'm like, good. I'm right.
Fully freaks me out.
I'm the angry person at the party. Like if there's coke, I'm like, we're leaving.
Oh my, completely. Bye. If I see someone go into a bathroom for too long, I'm like, I need to go home.
I gotta go home. I'm very uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think if you can communicate that, just know that that's okay and that's normal. There are lots of people who just feel, I get terrible anxiety around drugs. Like it's normal. You can feel like that and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure you're communicating that with like your friends and the people in your life as well, because I think the biggest issue here that you need to tackle is that you feel guilty for resenting your sister and for feeling upset, and you need to like let go of that shame. Realize that this did also happen. This didn't happen to you in the same sense that it happened to her, but this affected your life. And you need to treat it accordingly, just like your sister is going through that process. I think you need to as well, because I think it's okay that it's affected you. Mm-hmm. I think it would affect anybody, but you need to let your sister focus on her own recovery, and you need to focus on you.
Well, and you said it really beautifully, like manage your expectations of her. Mm-hmm. Like that's really it, is like to expect this behavior of a very clean person that doesn't have an addiction and doesn't have a past of selfishness and isn't just gigantically focused on that is not a real expectation. It's not something that's going to happen necessarily, which sucks. And I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I am sorry. That sucks. But at the same time, it, as long as you keep managing those expectations and going like, I know I'm not going to get this, but I can try and build whatever small bridge that I can moving forward. I can appreciate that she's getting better and getting clean. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people in your life. I mean, I'm sure you've had it too. We've all gotten to that point where there's people that you cut out that you, it's unfortunate, or it's not like you just cut them out because you're cold. It's self-preservation. Yeah. You know, it's that thing of like, I know that you're going to hurt me and I know that I'm going to expect you to act one way and you're not going to do that. And so I am going to have to limit my interactions with you until you're ready to get sober and clean and be a kind, generous, normal person. And that might take time. So what I can do right now is be there for you if you need me and, you know, and limit whatever that interaction is that gets me so frustrated.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they're not doing it to you. No. That's like, that's the biggest thing that I had to realize. That I had like, to realize this has nothing too, to do with
it,
me.
You expect it to be that normal behavior and you forget that it is a disease that completely consumes their life. And, you know, thank God she is getting clean. Mm-hmm. So some people don't have that luxury. I know that's a weird thing to like keep her perspective about, but some people don't have the luxury of that person in their life getting clean and building that road. And I know it does take time. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I've had people that like 8 years later have been like, hi, and you're like, oh, there you are, Peter, you know, like, okay, great. But it's, you know, it's, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm very sorry. And I think Megan's right. Therapy is key because I love therapy.
Yeah.
Been around for about 15 years of my life now and I love it.
Hey.
It's great.
It's a good song.
It is a great
song. We should send it to iTunes.
It's iTunes. It's iTunes. I'm going to put it on there, I think. I have to. I have to now.
The therapy song.
The therapy song. It's real short.
But it takes a really long time and it's quite expensive.
Quite expensive. Quite expensive.
Okay, guys, it is time for a break and we'll be back very, very soon.
Very, very soon.
Today's episode of Don't Blame Me is brought to you by me. Kidding. Not really. Kind of. This is just me shamelessly promoting us on the Apple Podcast app. I love finding out that people have like discovered us through there. And the way that they can do that is by you guys leaving some fantastic reviews because you're nice people. So if you leave a mean, here's what the thing, here's what you have to do. If you have ever left a mean review on Yelp, you have to leave a nice review on this podcast. Like you're just evening out like your karma. Not that you shouldn't write mean reviews on Yelp, but I just mean if you can take the time to do that, you can take the time to write a nice review. Like this person who said, too formal of a review, but I love this podcast. Oh, I'm excited for a formal review. Is this like school? I've never written a review for a podcast, but felt the need to write one for the particular podcast because it's so good. I found this podcast because I've been watching Megan's videos since 2014, and I love her personality and honesty. It's by far my favorite podcast that I've ever listened to. Megan's humor always guarantees a laugh, and so on the incredibly slim chance that Megan is reading this, thank you for putting this podcast out and making me smile every time I listen to it. Keep what you're doing and thanks again. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. That means a lot. And I do read them, guys. See? Proof right now. So shout out to you. I think usernames are really hard to read because I can't tell if it's like your real name or it's your first name combined with your last name. So I'm not going to name drop you, but you know who you are. And I did read it. So thank you so much for leaving that review. And you guys heard her. She's never written a review for a podcast and she did it. It's not that hard. Get your good karma points in and I will love you all forever. So thanks so much. Leave a review on the Apple Podcast app. 5 stars only because I'm needy and need validation. It's Leo. It's almost Leo season. Okay. Back to the episode. Okay, guys, we are back from our break, and we're going to hop into some more calls.
Hi, Megan. So I'm 22 years old, and I've been in this relationship for a little over 2 years, and we're both very serious about this relationship. We see each other quite often, but there's this one problem. It's that, so this is for both of us, it's our first real relationship, and he has this fear that he's missing out on life, in a sense that he's not experiencing as much because we both talk about marriage and being together forever, but he feels that he's not living life to the fullest because he hasn't really experienced anything with any other girl, and it's kind of a reoccurring fear for him in our relationship. And he talks to me about it. We're very open to each other, so we talk about everything. And so he tells me about it. But I don't really know how to respond to it. I don't feel the same way. This is my first relationship as well, but I feel like I'm fine with just being with him in the future. But I also know friends that kind of think like this. They kind of want to have fun and live life a little bit and experience and have, like, be in multiple relationships before committing and settling down. And I understand that completely, but I don't know what to do because a half of me understands that, you know, people want to experience life and be in multiple relationships before settling down for marriage and having kids and being that one with that one person until the rest of their life. But also, we're both in love, and it sucks because we met so early. And if we met maybe in our late 20s, we probably would have just been in the relationship for like 2 or 3 years, got married, and settled down. And I just think it's really bad timing, in a sense, that we met at such a young age. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what kind of advice to give him, because I obviously want to be with him. He wants to be with me. But I guess it's just not right. So, yeah, if I can just get your advice on this, it'd be great. Thank you.
It's tough. It is tough. And she also said something where if this, I don't know, if it was like a different call, it's advice that I give where it's if you meet later, at like later on in life, it might have worked.
Yeah.
Because I'm a huge believer in it's so much more about you than it is about the person that you're you're going to end up with. It's about your what you want what and your mindset at that age.
Yeah.
And so I think, I mean, honestly, it sounds like what he wants her to say is like, you know, why don't you go have sex with a couple other people and come back?
I'm going to go do that.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's like. I mean, I half kidding, half serious. No, that's kind of what it sounds exactly like he's hoping you're going
to
say.
Well, and there is something to it. I don't mean to be that person, but there is something to, you know, I don't know. I keep thinking of like if I would have ended up with the people that I was with when I was younger. In hindsight now and how much I've progressed as like a person and like how my career has changed and you know, finding who I found is who's the most supportive person I've ever met in my life. And I thought I had support before and then you actually get it and you're like, oh yeah, that's what
the
it
real
is.
Stuff.
Okay. Good to know. It's difficult because I also understand a little bit of where he's coming from of you know, wanting to experience all these things. And I will say this, that's not going to change. Marriage isn't going to change that. Commitment isn't going to change that. If he feels that way, that's something that he's going to feel probably until he feels like he's done what he needs to do in that realm. Mm-hmm. It sucks that you don't feel that way. It really does. You might find out that you do later.
It might just hit,
you a little bit later on. I've seen that happen a lot too, haven't you?
Yeah.
I have very close friends that get married and then years later are like, shit, you know? And that's not to say that it's not a serious thing. It kind of is just, it'll speak to your strength, I think. Like, do you think that you're the kind of person that could say, okay, we're broken up. I'm letting you go. You go and sow your wild oats. And if we come and find each other again, which I have seen happen.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I actually have seen happen. One of my closest friends, he did his whole life and literally like at 32, he was like, I miss her. Mm-hmm. That 18-year-old girlfriend that he had. Yeah. And then like they met up for one weekend. They dated for 6 weeks and they got engaged and now they're married. They have two kids. It's like a thing. He was like, I always missed her. I've always. And it was like, you know, that's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. But are you strong enough as a person to be like, I'm okay with you going out into the world, sowing your wild oats? By no means does that mean that you're going to be sitting there waiting.
There's not like a 2 weeks and then we're back.
No. And it's not also you just sitting there waiting for him to figure it out. It's like, bitch, go do you.
Yeah.
But that might have to happen. Age is tough because it is true. Like there, again, do you think about that? Like I think about
if I
would have ended up with any of the serious relationships that I would have been with.
Everything would have been terrible. Everything would have been
so
bad.
Horrible.
Like if I ended up with the guy I had my first kiss with, first of all, I think he lives on like a commune in like like doing something weird, like just like so beyond crazy, has like a beard and hair is all combined. He can't even put his hair up.
This is sounding very good to me, Megan.
Like, but I mean, he's like
I am 100% very hot,
but like I don't think he's had like shoes for years or job. No, not at all.
See, if I would have dated the guy that I had my first kiss with or was my first relationship with, I would be doing motocross every weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I would be like, I'm just a motocross wife being like, hell yeah. Like, that's who
just
I would be.
Crushing beers on your head.
Yeah, crushing beers on my head. My 3-year-old yeah, would be like fully nude.
Yes.
You know, as
yes, that's with a mohawk.
Yeah, like opening beer bottles with his teeth. Like,
look at the trick Jimmy can do.
Yeah. And then also, I would be. Definitely be the breadwinner because there's no way he was going to get a job.
Yeah. Well, and there's that fear that I also think of when I, not even the people I had the first relationships with, but the first time I felt like this could be it.
Yes.
Those people. And I think about it. I think so the thing that I don't know, I think I believe that you can love multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe when I think back to like my 16-year-old boyfriend, I still refer to him as like the first guy I ever loved. And
yes.
Because I love my boyfriend more now doesn't mean that I didn't love my first boyfriend.
Oh.
I loved him as much as I could at 16.
As much
but
as
24
you can.
Year old me can love so much more.
Yeah.
And so differently.
Also, I feel like there's a you know, tuning into yourself, like mm-hmm. there's a self-actualization that happens a little bit in your
yeah.
youth and in your 20s that you're like, oh, I did that. I really thought I loved that guy,
yeah.
but I didn't know who I was and I didn't know anything like that. And it's not, again, I don't want to like shit on the guy for wanting to go and do that because thank God he's being honest with
oh,
you
yeah.
and talking to you about how.
He could just be doing
how,
that and then
yeah, he could
not
just
tell
be an
you.
A-hole and just being like, mm-hmm. I'm sowing my wild oats, but he's talking to you about that. And there is truth in that. There is like, I don't know. I have so many friends and family that have done the game of like, getting married really young or like mm-hmm. getting married to the first person that they loved or just, you know, like standing tried and true to that person. And then that creeps up on him. And there's, you know, like he's trying to be honest and open with you right now and saying, I feel this way. And I really, really, really think that's something that's impossible to shake. Do you feel like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I
like,
wouldn't be able to shake
I wouldn't
that.
Be able
and
to
I
shake
would
it
also
either.
Think you need to ask him like the next time and be like, thank you for being so open and honest with me. What do you want to do about that?
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean for you? Is
yes.
it just that you want to talk about it and get it off your chest because you feel guilty? Or like, how can we fix this feeling that you have and this issue that you have? Because I think there's also that fear that is hard to recognize. But when you think, okay, the whole phrase, if you love something, let it go. I think there's also that fear of being like, okay, we separate for 2 years. Not only your fear of being like, well, what if like he never comes back? There's also that fear of being like, wow, what if I realize that I don't love
yeah,
him as much as I thought I did?
That's really it.
And that's that scary feeling of being like, now I can say this and like being like emotionally in it that I know that I really care about this person. But what if this whole time there's been something else out there? And that's a scary fear
too.
It's
a scary fear. It's also a scary fear like if you're anything like a normal human being and you do get jealous in
yeah.
any way, like there is that thing of like he's going to be with other people and that's
mm-hmm.
heartbreaking. It is. It's like there's no other way to say that. Like
yeah.
whenever that happens, even if you have an amicable breakup. Amicable was a mm-hmm. way harder
that's
word than I should have said at the moment.
It is a hard word.
I was like,
it
that's
came
a
out.
It came out.
It came out great.
Yeah. Around. But even if you've had a good breakup, whenever someone is with someone else, it's devastating.
Yeah.
It just is because you think about how they were with that person, how they're
mm-hmm.
with you. It's just, it's rough. There's no other way to put it. But it takes strength. It takes strength to be like, okay, that person is living their life. I'm going to go live mine. And you might be very surprised of what you find. You might also be surprised that you're like, okay, we did love each other and this
yeah.
is real and whatever. And he sowed all of his wild oats. But it is difficult because, again, it's not something that gets easily fixed.
No, you don't want to live in the state of that feeling.
Yeah. And there really is no, if that's going to be something that he's feeling, that's going to be something that he's feeling for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not much to go around it. But I think Megan's right in the sense of, ask him what he means by that, because if that's just him getting it off his chest, or if it means that you guys have to
yeah.
be apart, then mm-hmm. they might have to be apart, and that sucks. But also,
you want to find out now rather
yeah.
than
yeah.
find
I was
out
in,
now.
Yeah, if he never comes, if he's never going to come back, you want to know now
yes.
rather than
yeah.
another 2 years down the road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I mean, I don't know. I think there's things that happen. I've seen friends that have been in relationships where like someone else will come along and like
you know, you're like, oh, you guys would be perfect together. And then they've been in shitty relationships. And then it's just been that constant back and forth. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I have friends right now that like years ago, I wanted to set them up. Like years ago, I was like, God, they'd be perfect for each other. And now they're together.
Yeah.
But it took like three really horrible relationships that I was like, oh, she's in a relationship. And he's like, oh, man. And then I'm like, oh, he's in a turd sack of a relationship. Like I kept being like, they're both with horrible people. And now they're together and they like love each other. It's really cute. But
that makes them like, appreciate it more too.
Yes. Yeah, it really does. So it's a tough conversation that you're going to have.
Yeah, you got to have. Because no matter what, you're always going to be the first girl that he's been with. And until he's with somebody else, you'll be the only girl. So that fear is just a fact.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, like, it is.
That he's worried he's only going to be with one person. Like, that's a fact.
That's
if
a fact.
You guys, if he's never with anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's all, I mean, it's difficult because I think men and women, women don't get enough credit for that kind of stuff. I think men are always like seen as the sex guys.
Like,
that go
last
off
vagina
like,
of my life.
Yeah, screw that. Like, I think I do.
Dick of my life.
Lost dick of my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all right. Or just less person of your life. That weird intrigue, that like joy, whatever, all those different things. All those things tend to diminish, but then other beautiful things do pop up and arise, you know, but it is like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I've been married a year. I don't remember the last time that it was like that weird, like, I mean, that being said, he's my best friend. I love him more than anything in this world.
But there's like, that difference of like that
but
sparkle
the, like,
feeling.
But the shucks crush feeling.
Mm-hmm. Or if like, oh my gosh, is he going to text me back? I'm like, you better fucking text me back. Bring home toilet paper. We're out.
We're out.
And like, I can call you 10,000 times in a row and not feel like, am I being crazy?
No, I'm like calling and I'm like, pick up your phone, you dip.
Yeah. Like, and there's something that's also so sweet and like exciting about that.
Yes.
That feeling of being like, I can text you 10,000 times in a row.
And and also, and like, you know, you save shows for them and
there's
like, and he's your partner and he's your best friend. It's just like that weird thing of just like, I miss him. I miss him now.
All of those stages are good. Yeah.
All of those stages are beautiful, but there is something to that weird thing of like all that aw shucks, weird crush of like, like that goes.
Yeah.
Other he's come through and you're like, we got to start a savings.
Yeah.
401k.
401k. We should have invested in our future.
Oh, I love it.
And we are on to the next call.
Ooh.
Hi, Megan and Mo. I'm 18 years old and right now I'm in like the summer before I go to college. So I'm just like enjoying my time hanging out with friends and all that kind of stuff. And for like a little bit of background with me, I've never had any like, besides like makeout, I've never had any like real experience with boys or anything like that. So this summer I decided to just have a summer of activities and just hoe out and just be like how I want to be before I get into college and like all the everything, like when life actually hits you and then all those like serious things. And specifically like with my friends, I feel like whenever I tell them anything or what's going on, because once you like, I realize once you're actually open with guys, they just flood in. I feel like I'm getting judged a little bit considering whenever they were going through their own like things. And they were like, you know, finding themselves, even though we are pretty young, I didn't judge them. I let them experience what they wanted to do and how they wanted to, you know, go on with their life and like their sexual endeavors. So my question is like, how am I supposed to like come off without being a quote unquote hoe? Because I used to have that same idea that, oh, if I'm like going out and doing these things, even if it's just with one person, I'm not mature enough to like, you know, want to be in a relationship or something like that. But now that I'm a little bit older and a little bit mature, I feel like anything is a learning experience. And as long as you and the other person are consensual and you're like, you know where you stand, that it's not, that there's nothing wrong with that. Like there's really no such thing as a hoe in my opinion. And so I just like, cause I feel like I'm just speaking to a brick wall whenever I say these things, and like my friends can be understanding, but it's like I'm more understanding towards them and I'm more helpful towards them than they are towards me. So yeah, like how do I go about that situation of saying how I feel without coming off as like, I just want to be a hoe.
I love it.
Did she say summer of fucktivities? Fucktivities.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was sextivities, and I was like, no, I think it's fucktivities.
Fucktivities.
Both of them.
It sounds
great.
Like fucktivities.
Fucktivities.
It just sounds like fucktities.
Fucktities. Fucktivities.
Fucktivities.
Fucktivities. I just want to be a hoe is also probably going to be my new anthem.
Yeah. My Instagram, my Twitter, my
activities. I just want to be a hoe.
I just want to be a hoe.
I want to be a hoe. It's a fun game to play.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this once. Be safe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going to say it twice. Be safe. HPV is real.
Mm-hmm.
It is very serious. And beyond that, there's a gonorrhea resurgence.
I saw those billboards.
It's real, though. Like, this is some real stuff. And I've had people in my life whose lives have been ruined by stuff because of their fucktivities.
Yes.
So just be safe.
Fucktivities are the condom
you.
And birth control.
Condom, birth control. But more importantly, condom is always a really good thing. Yes. Unless you guys go together. My third date is usually to a place to get tested. But it's one of those things. So it's a very important thing. Be safe.
And then also have a lot of sex.
If you want to.
Yeah.
Also, here's my thing that I will say for this. Are you doing it for you or are you doing it for the need to talk to your friends about it? Because if that is the issue, then that is an issue, in my opinion. If you're doing it for you, if you're doing it to figure out who you are, which is a very, this is a learning experience. It is a real thing. College will hit. The same things will arise in college of like boys and cuteness and like parties and everything, et cetera. They'll happen there too. So if you were like worried that life was going to take over, don't worry. They're still there.
College is not life.
College is not life. But they're still going to be there. There's going to be plenty of sex activities for you to do. If not more. Not more will present themselves. So the question is like, do you want to do this so you can talk to your friends about it? So it can be like a bragging right. So if there's something that you feel like you need to grow up about it, then that's a thing. Or if you want to just do this for you, then do it for you. And you might not get to talk to your friends about it because they have judgments about it. Like, it's a hard thing. People don't tend to know things until they have personal experience with it. It's just a thing. Like, they don't understand until they either live it. And some people never live it, so they never really understand. There's a very minute group of people that can, like, see something that they haven't experienced and been like,
I understand.
I understand that. You do you. Live your life. Like, no judgments here. Yeah. It's such a very small pool. Very small pool. They're all at Burning Man.
Yeah.
but it's, you know, that's a difficult thing. So if you're trying to do this to, like, be able to have these conversations, you might not get to, especially at the age that you're at with you've just said that you came off of feeling that way for a long time too, how they feel. So this might be conversations that you don't get to have with those friends. There might be other friends that you do get to have that conversation with that are open and have experience with that. But if you are doing this just for like your own growth and your own development and like figuring out who you are in that, be safe. But also, like, I'm just gonna keep saying no, be safe.
Don't forget.
But also don't forget. But also then it might just be for you. It might be you learning these things and like, bitch, write a diary because
Sex in the City.
Because it was a huge show. But also because you learn a lot from it.
Yeah.
And then you go like, oh, I hated that. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, that is when I figured that out.
Yeah.
Of like who I am and what I want and et cetera, et cetera. That's my opinion about that.
I'm very much in the same boat with that. I think as much as I wish that there wasn't kind of that same, I think with like guys, a lot of guys will talk about hooking up with lots of different girls with guys.
Yeah.
And but they're not going to really talk about it with their other girls, like with girls, because like that looks bad. But girls don't even really a lot of the time talk about it with other girls
because
it's a lot of like self judgment within the female community.
And there is a huge stigma. Like, so just note that I think, and this is my personal experience, you're never going to change people's idea about the stigma. That's my honest opinion. Like, it's not until they go through something in their lives or they do that, the stigma won't change. You can try. You can try slowly but surely trying to be like, this isn't this. This is a dichotomy. This is societal norms that are placed upon it. The women are viewed as objects and that's a difficult part of it. Like, all these things that you can try and say, but I really think it's difficult to change people's opinions about that and change people's idea about the stigma. You change your idea about the stigma. That's how you move it forward. And then you keep pushing that forward and whoever's in your life, you change that. But it's a difficult stigma to try and get past. And I think it's not worth it.
Exactly. I think if you want to have a fun summer of like fuck festivities, you need to like your friends aren't a part of that. And I think like there is that thing like, oh, I don't want to hide stuff from my friends. And like, you don't have to hide things from your friends, but you don't, it's not brunch in Sex and the City where you sit down, you're like, do you want to hear about this guy I just hooked up last week, like with last night? It needs to be like you're saying that you want to be selfish and do this for you. You have to do it for you. And if your friends want to ask you about it and you can tell them whatever you feel comfortable telling them. But at the same time, I am all for female empowerment. I also don't think there's anything very nice about like running your mouth about like your sex, like all these people that you've slept with without, not saying without their permission or whatever, but like I rarely will like, I will so much more likely talk about like people I've hooked up with or whatever that aren't in like, that I'm not in a serious relationship with or whatever. Yeah. But I just don't think, I think if you're doing this for you, this needs to be about you and not about about the guys, about gossiping about the guys and not about telling your friends about it. Yeah. There's a way to answer your friends' questions and not hide things from them, but like still, I don't know, like a lot of people I know have gone through this, but it wasn't like something where everyone knew at the same time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
It's not I don't want to say you're putting too much of a stress on this being a big deal, but if this is what you want to do for your life, just do it. Like, it doesn't need to be a big deal. There are so many people, like if you meet anyone and they're like 20 singles, like they're sleeping around.
Almost everyone goes through a hoe phase.
You don't have to like make this a big deal, because I think then there's a little bit of like self-shame there too, like should I feel bad?
That's a really big one too, is like, again, if you're doing this for you, do it for you, you know. Do it for whatever. Some of the questions that your friends are having might honestly be them trying to learn things about things, like and I think that you can have that honest conversation of like, look, I'm going to talk to you about it, but one, I don't want you to judge me for it. If I'm going to be honest with you, I don't want you to judge me for it. If you're going to judge me for it, then I guess we just can't have the conversation. Like, that's a very healthy boundary to set with your friends about it. And just say, like, I'm going to feel judged by you if you are going to say anything nasty about what I'm doing with my life, because I'm living my life how I want to live it, and not hurting anyone in the process.
Exactly.
Because you're being safe.
That's what you're doing.
Because what you do, you're being safe. But you're not hurting anyone in the process. So if you're going to judge me about it, then I guess I can't have an honest conversation. If you want me to have an honest conversation, great, I will. So, you know, because I do think there's a lot of, I don't know about you, but I did a lot of learning through friendship, like through friends' experiences. I did a lot of learning through that of like, oh, okay, that's something I don't want to do. Or
something you're judgmental about. And then 2 years then later, I did the same thing.
There's so many things in my mind that I like, think about that I was like, oh yeah, I would have been like, oh my god, and then now I'm like, that's not that bad.
Exactly.
Live your life. We're all just trying to get by. But it really is like, if you're doing it for the conversations with your friends, you will find also there's a certain subset. I work with boys. I work with three at the Valley Folk. I work with nothing but men, so I am consistently used to talking in that vernacular and in that like TMI world of very open, too open and honest. Yes. And then sometimes I go around other people and I start having conversations and everyone's like, and I'm like, okay.
So you guys don't talk about what tattoo you would get on your genitalia for $1 million. Cool. Good to know.
I know this is our boundary.
This is our boundary. Got it.
But it's a thing. You'll find a group of people that like, if you want honest conversations about it, you're going to find honest conversations about it. It might not be with the French group that you have right now, but that's for you guys to talk
college
about the bachelor.
Friends. Yeah. That's like, there's a huge difference between hometown, the people who've known you since you were like 7 years old. It's like the same way when people think about like, there are cute guys that I grew up with that I could never see like that. And I'm like, no, it's because I knew them when they had like headgear and like neon green braces.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about, like,
you pushed me off the swing set,
exactly. Brian. Like, and also you've made these previous statements that people are like, oh my God, are you going back on your word? Like, college is a time where you can, your views that you have now at 18 years old, those are how people meet you. They don't have any of the who you were before and anything like that. So I think you can also reserve those talks for college. That's a lot of college talk.
I mean, also, you're going to learn a lot about yourself. And I will say this, too. You might learn some things that you don't like. Mm-hmm. You might learn a lot of things. Like, I've learned things that I don't like about myself of, like, what did that require in me? Like, why did I need that attention so bad? Oh, like, what was that satiating in? But haven't you, like, mm-hmm. I've had those real conversations, especially in the sexual realm of, like, you know, what was I doing that for? Who was I trying to please? Yeah. Like, what was I trying to get out of that? And, like, really be honest with yourself about that, too. Like, don't just, like, that you can say you want to live your hotivities and all that. But, like, be honest with yourself about, like, what is it for? What's mm-hmm. the reason? Is it to find yourself? Is it to grow? Is it to learn everything about yourself? Is it to just have the summer of George?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it to, like, or is there another need that you're satiating? Like, yeah. Be honest with yourself, because you might learn some shit that you don't want to necessarily address, but it's real.
Yeah.
It's real shit. So by all means, do it, because you can't learn without experience.
Exactly.
But I do think that there's things.
Yeah. And we've all done it. We've all had that summer.
Had that summer.
Or a couple years.
Or the full summers leading up.
Or
until
life.
Or life. We've all had that
life.
We've all lived that life. It's fine.
We've been there.
Just want to be a hoe.
Just want to be a hoe. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Probably a hoe.
Probably would not be.
Probably not a hoe.
Okay, guys, it's time for Producer's Corner. And this is where we either have somebody who listened to our episode and has some either critiques on our advice or some additional advice that might not have covered from a previous call. Or we have someone who has previously called in updating us on their situation.
Well, I love a good life update. Right? Yeah. I really do.
All right. Yeah. So this is someone that's calling in to share their own advice. Mm-hmm. This is from the episode with Tyler Chase about the girl who had wrote a poem that was published in a literary magazine about her emotionally abused father. Mm-hmm. And I picked this one because I know when we did that one, you were waiting for until after your movie came out to see how things were gonna
that is very true
fold, because you had
a similar situation in my movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm in a similar situation where I've been emotionally abused all through my childhood by my dad, and it left me with a lot of like mental health issues like OCD and depression and panic attacks. And I paint and I draw and I'm creative like this woman. And I used it all the time to feel better and to make myself feel better and to express myself in ways that I couldn't just talk to someone about. And that's obviously what she's done. And she's obviously really, really good because she's getting published, and that's a massive thing. But she doesn't need to worry, is what I wanted to say, is that they hurt you and they didn't consider you. And so you have every right to help yourself, make yourself feel good. Like, you have every right to heal. They hurt you and you have to heal, and you don't have to think about them. If it hurts them, that's it. And if it doesn't hurt them, that's great. But you have to think of you. Put you first, because she obviously has this amazing talent and she should be proud of herself for this talent, and she should feel like she can put it forward without even thinking of anyone else because they didn't think of her. So yeah, I just wanted to say that she shouldn't worry and she should be proud and happy, and if he reacts badly, screw it, because you dealt with it all through everything, and you're still dealing with it, obviously, and you always do, you still deal with it forever, but she should be proud.
Oh my god, she has the most beautiful voice.
So beautiful. It's like Emma Watson. Beautiful. And then she's had massive. I was like, oh, I love it.
It's just like she's
now
so
I'm realizing
posh.
I should have been in an accent this the entire time, thing. Yeah. Everything sounds so much like, yes, just do you. Like, be a hoe and it's all right.
Just be a
like, have your hoe face.
Just go for your fucktivities.
It's fine.
It's live
your
life.
You're
going to be fine.
That was really beautiful. I think that's really beautiful.
So beautiful.
I hate that she's gone through emotional abuse. I love that she's channeled it through art. I don't. Groucho Marx has a really good quote. At least I'm pretty positive it's Groucho Marx. But it's blessed are the cracked, for they let the light in.
Hmm.
And I love that quote so much because it's very much like, I don't know a single person that hasn't been through some amount of something and used it to further their, whether or not it's comedy. I have a lot of comedy friends, and literally one night we were all like, has everyone in this room been abused in some way? Great. Okay. Like all of us raised our hands.
That's why we're
like,
so funny.
Okay, great. All right. Yeah. Tragedy. Great. Yeah. But it's, you use it, you harness it. I mean, rarely are there the people that are like, lived a pretty easy life.
My gosh.
Posh life.
Yeah.
Had a great
Also that never lasts.
Yeah. No.
Like, no. You're just going to, like, shit's going to hit the fan at like 67.
That means that your wave is getting bigger and bigger.
It's a tidal fucking wave. It's going to happen. It consumes you.
Because when it hits, it's going to hit. But I think that's really beautiful. Yeah. And she's very much right of like, you know, however that person feels in your life, it's like, screw it. That's what it is. You're channeling it how you should be channeling it. You can't hold it in, and you got to get through it somehow in that way.
Yeah. And I think nothing is as if, like, coming from just coming off of this, I would say, like, nothing, as much as you stress and worry about it, you, unless you live with, I don't know, like, there's like, you can decline phone calls if someone's calling you to get upset about you or something. Yeah. Like, there's something so fucking great about being on your own. And the original caller was talking about how she's like living on her own. She's not dependent on financially or emotionally for these people. And so that there is something that is so nice about the fact that you have control over what you let into your life as an adult. Yep. And you can just put those things out in the universe, and you don't owe anybody anything. You don't owe anybody an apology or a warning. Or I have a friend who's a musician who she still to this day is like the sweetest person, and also very worried about it. She will tell people all the time, being like, I just like feel like I should like let them know in advance that there's this song. I'm like, sweetie, nobody's going to know that it's about them, because all these terrible people that you're writing about think of themselves so highly that they are not the picture that you painted.
That you're like, no. And also, I do think there's a thing of like, you know, that's a truth that you have to live in if you're that person. Like, that's a truth that you have to be aware of. And I've also seen people heal. I've seen relationships heal through that, where it's like, I've seen people that have gone through things in their lives and they've talked about it very openly and done, like, I had a friend that did a Moth monologue about it, and then her mother and her relationship healed because of it. You know, it's like things like that, that, not to say that that is a thing, but results can come through it. And I think sometimes it is necessary for that person to learn about themselves in whatever way is the way. And you're right. Like, you can decline a phone call. You can absolutely.
And that's not running away or hiding.
No,
from it.
It's like, not. It's not even like denying them as a person. It's a tough thing, because especially with those people that are supposed to be your foundation people, you know, like, family is a real one that is supposed to be your foundation. And so when they wrong you in some way, or when they don't do what they're supposed to do, then it's the hurt is so much greater. I think the hurt is so much deeper. And so you have every right to self-preserve and not feel like you have to have that familial attachment. And it's difficult because those tend to be the hardest ties
and it's
to
okay
sever.
To go against the grain with that, because there is this idea of like, no matter what, family, like, family always is there. But like, I think,
and
the
sometimes
thing,
you're like, nah, man,
it's like, not. And like, ultimately your own mental health and your own well-being is so much more important than like society's idea of a family. And especially if you've been in a situation where you haven't had, what if you don't have the cookie cutter family, you don't have to abide by those cookie cutter family rules. Whoever is that person in your life who is like unwavering, like unconditional
those
love
family,
those are your family. It's not the people who like fucked and had you. Like that doesn't, that's, they're not
so true.
That relationship
so true.
Of like guiding and mentorship and like unconditional love, it's not, it's sometimes it is the people who brought you into this world, but sometimes it's not. And that that tie and attachment we have to those two things, I think, is the biggest issue, because I'm sure for the original caller, so much of that fear, it comes from like what everybody else thinks of when they think of family.
Well,
and
there's guilt and there's
knows.
Shame attached to it. There's shame attached to like that person not being what they are supposed to be in their life, and there's shame attached to like you feeling like you're not being what you are in their life. And it's like, well, no, those
we didn't do this for each other. Like,
no, we didn't. And it is such a, my mother came from an abusive mother, and so much of it, I mean, she, you know, she's in her 60s now and she still has those issues of like, you know, feeling certain ways about it and being resentful about it. And like, she still talks about how she has to get through that constantly. But it's the truth. It's like, that being said, her entire healing was having kids and being the best freaking mother on the face of the planet. Like, there, you'll find your way to heal. You'll find your way to get through it. And if it is through those different artistic endeavors, if it is through finding that person in your life that you're like, oh my God, this, this is my, this is who I'm attached to now. Like, this is my everything. Then that's how it is. You know? Oh, it's beautiful.
It was so beautiful. Thank you so much for that callback.
Beautiful accent. I just love it so much. I love it.
I can't even do that good of a posh accent.
Is it bad? I just want her to say Harry Potter. Like, Harry.
I'm sure she literally has to do that all the time. I mean, she probably doesn't have to because like, she probably lives in the UK with lots of people who speak like that.
She hates that all Americans are like, oh, Harry Potter. Hello. Beautiful.
Oh, so lovely. I loved it. Really well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
I had a great time.
You were great.
Thank you. I just want to again say that I don't stand by any of it, and you do
don't
your
worry.
Life.
No, it says it's in the title. The title says "Don't blame me." They can't hate us. That's my.
Do not blame me, but also
take all your life. My advice.
I don't know what to really stick strong, except for be safe sexually.
Yeah, be safe sexually.
Be safe sexually. You do you.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't anyone's person but yourself. And if you're young, know that life will move on.
Mm-hmm. And save money.
Save money.
Yeah.
24 to 35. Who knew?
Well, now I know. Thank God.
It was an NPR thing. It was bad. It was settling in my brain. And I was like, well, I've messed it all up. See
it
you
is
later,
done.
Everybody.
It's over.
Goodbye. Puppy farm, here I come.
Oh, I love it.
I know.
So where can people find you?
You can find
on the internet.
On the internet.
You don't have to say in real life.
YouTube.com/TheValleyFolk. That's me and my three other men that we have a comedy beautiful journey. We just released our pilot today, which is going to be
oh my God.
A great time. I'm so excited about
Congratulations.
It.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Twitter, Instagram, The Valley Folk, Lee Newton. That's it.
Amazing.
All those places.
Great. You guys can check out Melissa and I's socials are in the down bar or the description.
The down bar
for YouTube. The description for whatever. Fucking iTunes, you're podcast description.
It's in the show notes.
Google it. The show notes, and then if you're watching on YouTube, it's in the description. Yeah. I still call it the down bar.
Do you really?
Yeah. It was on. Was anyone ever called the down bar?
No, you're old school YouTube.
Oh,
that's the down.
Oh, I just licked the mic.
Oh no! Wow.
They're in a relationship now.
Yeah, that's it. That's your host story right there.
That's my host story. I wish that was my only host story. One time I licked a mic. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Had a great time.
And if you guys want to be a part of another episode, you can let us know what you need advice on in your life by leaving a voicemail at 310-694-0976.
So proud of you.
And again, emailing via audio file to meganpodcast@gmail.com. If you are an international listener with a beautiful accent.
Beautiful accent.
Beautiful accent.
Aggressive, beautiful. What? I couldn't think of anything.
Transatlantic accent?
Transatlantic
like
is what
Meghan
I was
Markle?
Trying to think of. Yes. Oh my God, that was so real, right?
I know.
She was like, no. And you're like, Meghan.
Meghan. Blasphemy. Yeah. I mean, I don't blame her. I would do it too. It's way prettier.
Yeah. What are you, nuts?
Yeah.
Just she's a princess now. Assimilate. She can do whatever she wants.
No, it's not a British accent. It's a princess accent.
She's a princess.
She's a princess.
She's gorgeous.
Genovia. Okay, guys.
Sorry, we transgressed.
Yep, we're done.
Transgressed.
Transgressed.
That's
the word.
I was thinking.
Okay, guys. We'll see you next week. Goodbye. Don't Blame Me is a production by me, produced, directed, and edited by Melissa DeMonts. Post-production sound by Chris Henry, production assistant Julie Carley, and music by Giacomo Picasso and Ryan Hunter. I'll see you guys next week, and don't blame me if your life, completely fucks up before then. Oh.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.